The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Portions of the following program may contain pre-recorded material.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
China's not an enemy, and I think that's important for people to clearly understand. China is a rising power. China has been a rising power since Deng Xiaoping in 79.
Quite remarkable words from the man who is now the most senior military officer in the United States, who calls up his equivalent in the Communist Chinese Liberation Army to tell them, don't worry, if President Trump wants to attack you, I'll give you a heads up. That was him talking back in 2015 in uniform as chief of staff of the army then, saying, China, not an enemy. I know somebody who's got a very different opinion, who's been educating the swamp and educating those who want to know the truth about China for decades now. He is the national security correspondent for The Washington Times, a good friend of the show, author of Deceiving the Sky, Inside Communist China's Drive for Global Supremacy. Bill Goertz, welcome to One on One.
Hi, Sebastian. Great to be on the show.
Thank you for joining us, Bill. Follow this gentleman, Bill Goertz, G-E-R-T-Z, on Twitter. First question, to quote, was it Trotsky who said it or Lenin? I think it was Trotsky who said, you may not be interested in war, but war is interested in you. I think that China is not our enemy. What does China think of America, Bill?
This is an amazing disclosure by the chairman. The Chinese view the United States as their main enemy, to be vanquished. In fact, within the Chinese strategy, which is encapsulated in something called Xi Jinping's China Dream, China will achieve global supremacy at the expense of the United States. In other words, China's dream can't be reached until the United States is diminished and ultimately vanquished. What we're seeing from General Milley is a reversion to the appeasement policies of the past 30 or 40 years. And it reminds me of my meeting with the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency back in 1999, where he told me that China was not a threat. And I thought we had excised that demon during the Trump administration when we began to recognize the threat posed by communist China. But apparently under Biden, the pro-China appeasement policies have returned.
Explain to us, I mean, it's truly shocking. I think his actions under the Trump administration, which have been revealed in a soon-to-be-published book, were treasonous. A man who is not legally in the chain of command, giving our sworn enemy a promise that he will warn them if the president takes military action. That's who Milley is. He is a traitor. Tell us, is this, how universal is this in terms of the establishment understanding of China, the private sector's understanding of China, and where did it begin? Was it really Kissinger and Nixon saying, we have to open towards China? Well, can you give us the genesis following this for decades? Where did the rot begin?
Yes, this process has been ongoing. It's the reflection of the internal debate within the U.S. government, specifically involving the climate change fanatics led by former Secretary of State John Kerry and the more realist policymakers led by the China czar at the White House, Kurt Campbell. In the beginning of the Biden administration, the policy was very close to some of the Trump administration's policies. As I wrote in my column recently, at the United Nations, Joe Biden made clear that he's reverting back to the appeasement policies. They call it diplomacy-oriented, but diplomacy in the name of appeasement is still appeasement. And that's what we're beginning to see. There's some welcome of this new policy on Wall Street, which, again, has been seeking to do business in China for many years under the idea that if we just trade and do business with this communist state, that it would have a modifying influence. It's been an utter failure. A lot of the Wall Street executives want to go to that. The banks, however, many of the U.S. and international banks are recognizing that it's time to pull back from China, that the things are going south very quickly there.
Explain to us the truth, Bill, of what China is today. As you rightly point out, for decades there was this fallacious narrative that if we liberalize economically, if we trade, if we give China a favored nation status, that economic liberalization must lead to political liberalization and democratization. Is China democratic today? How many political parties can you vote for in China, Bill?
Zero. Actually, one. It's not really a vote. It's the Communist Party of China. I think they have a couple of fake parties in there. This policy of the United States is not new. Since the communist regime took over in 1949, there have been decades of American policies that have bailed out the Communist Party of China when it was on the brink of collapse or disaster. Just a few examples. The Cultural Revolution from 69 to 79 was really the end of the Communist Party. They basically cannibalized themselves, destroyed the economy of the country, and brought it to the brink of disaster. Then there was the Tiananmen Massacre in 1989. We had the Bush 41 administration sending General Scowcroft to China to say, oh, look, even though you crushed independent democratic protesters under the treads of tanks, we're not going to hold you accountable for that. And then the World Trade Organization, like liberalization, granting most favored nation status, again, bailing out the Communist Party. And once again, we're seeing that under the Biden administration, they refuse to hold the Communist Party of China accountable for the devastating pandemic that began in Wuhan, China, in December of 2019. In fact, the current Secretary Blinken has said dealing with the pandemic is not about holding China accountable. It's about ending the pandemic. So again, the Communist Party, which is despised by the Chinese people, has been getting a pass from successive ruling class administrations in the United States.
And when you hear the climate czar, John Kerry, who jets around the world in his private plane as he's pontificating about others' carbon footprint. 2 days ago, 3 days ago, when asked about the Uyghur slave labor camps, the inhumanity that is meted out to the Muslims in China, and he says, well, it's complicated because climate change. Your reaction, Bill?
Yes. John Kerry has made clear in speeches and in a couple of visits to China in which he was openly insulted by Chinese leaders that nothing the Chinese do or say is going to disrupt his drive to reach some kind of a climate arrangement, some kind of a climate agreement with communist China. I think it's important to note just recently the dictator of China, Xi Jinping, announced that China was going to halt the construction of coal-fired energy plants around the world. This is another scandal that has never really been exposed, but the United States has given China billions of dollars over the last 20 to 30 years for the specific purpose of getting them not to build coal-fired plants that have emissions. And what have the Chinese done? They pocketed that money, and they continue to build these coal-fired polluting plants around the world. It's worse than appeasement. It's really contributing to whatever emissions problems there are in the world.
And how does Beijing look at a John Kerry when he says these things? What is their reaction to Biden when he doesn't even mention China by name in last week's speech at the UN? This must make Xi and his cronies feel good, Bill.
The Chinese Communist Party has read correctly the approach of the Biden administration is one of seeking to have conciliatory relations. Recently, the president of the United States had a 90-minute phone call with Xi Jinping. Very little came out about that, but it's clear that in that phone call, the president must have made a number of concessions because we're starting to see some extremely troubling signs that we're back to appeasement again. Just recently, the Justice Department settled its case against the Huawei executive Meng Wanzhou, who was indicted for illegal funding of entities in Iran that are violations of U.S. law. She'd been fighting extradition from Canada for 3 years. In response to her indictment, the Chinese arrested and imprisoned two Canadians, one a former diplomat. They've been imprisoned on trumped-up spy charges. They're probably going to be released, but this is the worst signal to send. Huawei Technologies is the company that is seeking to dominate the global telecommunications industry, specifically through the 5G advanced technology.
Back with Bill after these messages. I'm Sebastian Gorky. This is the Salem Radio Network coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real, pain relief that's liberated tens of thousands of Americans across the country from their daily pain, me included. But it's not just me. It's people like Leah from Ohio. This is Leah's story. One Sunday morning, I sat on my couch in so much pain, I was in tears. That's the day I ordered Relief Factor. Following directions, in 8 days, I found relief only to get better and better. I'm a believer 100%. That should be you. That could be you. Find out today. There's only one way, but it's super easy. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Leah, and thousands of your fellow Americans. Don't wait any longer. You deserve to know. You should be the next success story. 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com.
Making sense out of today's news, here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome back to One-on-One with me, Sebastian Gorka, and the Washington Times' Bill Goetz. We're talking to Bill Goetz, national security correspondent for the Washington Times, and most importantly, the author of Deceiving the Sky, Inside Communist China's Drive for Global Supremacy. He is a truth teller, just like our good friend Rudy Giuliani. He is in the crosshairs of the cancel culture left. Please support him today. They're trying to strip him of his law licenses, bankrupt him, and get him in the dock on trumped-up charges. Please go to Rudy Giuliani, Freedom Fund.com. He's America's mayor. He's fighting for the truth about last year's elections. That's Rudy Giuliani, freedomfund.com. Let's start at the top, Bill. Let's talk about who now runs the world's largest communist dictatorship. Who is Xi Jinping? What do we need to know about him? And what changes has he made recently to the constitutional order of that communist state?
Yeah, Xi Jinping is the ruling dictator of communist China. He assumed that position in 2012 and immediately began to undo many of the reforms that had been taking place under Deng Xiaoping that began after Mao's demise in 1976. These policies have been taken in an attempt to re-communize China. I would describe Xi Jinping as a neo-Maoist. As I reported in my book, Deceiving the Sky, his favorite leaders are Hitler, Stalin, and Mao. And he is working very aggressively to return China to its communist roots, almost in the style of North Korea totalitarianism. We've seen him go after the business leaders in China who wielded enormous power by becoming billionaires. Many of them have been imprisoned. Some have been killed. Some others have been driven into exile. And this is all part of Xi Jinping's plan to once again make China a dominant world communist power.
When it comes to the system domestically, what is it that they're most afraid of? Some people say you look at the events in Hong Kong that democracy or some kind of burgeoning democracy is what they're most afraid of. Are they afraid of America, democracy, or something else, Bill?
Yes, they're afraid of American democracy. They have an idea of so-called color revolutions. Those are the revolutions that traveled throughout North Africa and the Middle East and South Asia a number of years ago. And they believe that Communist China and the Communist Party of China are locked in a death struggle with world capitalism led by the United States. And they've been, it's amazing to me. I hear a lot of China experts tell me that, oh, China's not really communist. They're just going through the motions. When in fact, everything they do is according to these Marxist-Leninist principles. This idea that China must defeat the world leader of capitalism in order to maintain its dominance as the world power.
And none of this is secret. I mean, you know, when I came to the White House, Bill, I really thought my job would be counterterrorism. But once I started reading the classified analyses that were prepared for the president, I realized we'll deal with the jihadis, we'll deal with Russia, North Korea, and Iran. The real threat is communist China. You know, you don't need a clearance to understand what they want. If you look at Unrestricted Warfare, the publication, if you look at One Belt, One Road, talk to us about these products that are out there in the public domain that tell you what China wishes to achieve by the 100th anniversary of the Chinese Revolution.
Yes, and that would be 2049. Yeah, it reminds me of a guy named Michael Pillsbury, China expert, who the Pentagon sent to China many years ago in the early 2000s. And he was able to get a number of Chinese military writings, and he translated these into English. And it had a huge impact on the national security community, including the military, because what he disclosed was that these kind words and smiles and glad handshakes from the Chinese Communist Party were hidden by military writings that said China is going to defeat the United States. It views the United States as its main enemy. It's building weapons of war to defeat the United States in a future war. All of these things are the reality of China today, and they're now coming to fruition with the advanced weaponry we're seeing deployed by the Chinese military, things like anti-satellite weapons that could destroy our communications, navigation, and targeting, precision-guided targeting elements. We're seeing cyber warfare campaigns that could also turn out the lights. We're seeing missiles. And just recently, it's been disclosed that China is engaged in a massive nuclear expansion program. And this has been discovered in commercial satellite imagery, showing up to 350 silos are being built for the new DF-41 intercontinental ballistic missile that's going to have 10 warheads each. So you can do the math there, and you can see we're looking at an enormous nuclear and strategic breakout on the part of the Chinese Communist Party.
But, Bill, it's not just about kinetic warfare or conventional warfare in the spirit of, you know, the ancient strategist Sun Tzu. The communist Chinese regime is using indirect forms of warfare, non-kinetic, financial, informational, propaganda, and espionage-based. And if you look at the last, you know, few decades, whether it's the senior senator from California, Dianne Feinstein, having a Chinese intelligence operative as her chauffeur for 20 years, or whether it's Eric Swalwell, who clearly cannot deny the fact that he slept with a Chinese intelligence officer called Fang Fang. The Chinese have more than one way to defeat us, do they not?
Yes, and their influence operations are one of the big secret warfare programs of China. I note that an academic from New Zealand named Anne-Marie Brady several years ago did an incredible study on Chinese influence operations in Australia. It had a huge impact. In fact, the Australian government was able to uncover at least one member of parliament that was covertly connected to the Chinese military. The Australian government then restricted Chinese investment. This is the kind of thing that is urgently needed in the United States. There hasn't been a single think tank in the United States that has done a similar study of Chinese influence operations. And it just shows you the scope and breadth of Chinese power in the influence sphere, that they have literally bought up officials, using officials like former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, former officials like former Defense Secretary Bill Cohen. All of these people have set up consultancies and have made tens of millions of dollars doing business in China. And they have been very influential in preventing our country from defending itself from this information warfare threat.
Stay with us for more from Bill Gertz after this break. Gun Owners of America is the only no-compromise gun lobby. From battling the Biden administration's radical anti-gun agenda to restoring your constitutionally protected rights in the states, GOA's grassroots army, led by a friend of this show, Eric Pratt, is ready. GOA has a proud 45-year history of defending your Second Amendment rights without compromise. GOA's mission is simple: to protect, defend, and restore the Second Amendment. For just $25 a year, you can take an active role in the protection of your rights. When you join today by visiting gunowners.org/GORKA, you will receive a free gift. So help protect the Second Amendment by joining Gun Owners of America right now at gunowners.org/GORKA.
The truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. That's Dr. G's specialty, America First.
And we're back with the Washington Times' Bill Gertz. Talk to us, Bill, if you would, about this company, Huawei, that many seem to treat as just another telecommunications cell phone company. Why is that completely the wrong way to think about Huawei, Bill?
Yes. First off, the Chinese are engaged in something called civil military fusion. This is a Communist Party program directed at the highest levels of both the government and the party, which requires all commercial technology to be used for the military. And likewise, any military developed or stolen technology then goes to the civilian sector. Huawei Technologies bills itself as a, quote, private company. It is anything but. It is one of the national champions that gets funding and support. It also provides intelligence gathering tools. We learned from the Snowden documents that the Chinese stole our router technology and then used that technology to spy on others. And we were able to spy on Huawei and learn all of its intelligence gathering capabilities. This has come out again because of that compromise. The NSA lost the ability, the National Security Agency lost the ability to spy on Huawei. But we've never had the U.S. government really come out and explain why this company is so dangerous. And the reason it's so dangerous is because we're on the verge of a revolution in telecommunications with 5G, which is going to speed up the communications that are used for everything, down from whether it's washing machines and televisions to the most precision-guided munitions that the U.S. military has. It's going to affect that, to be able to communicate so rapidly and over many long distances.
And this is more than just one company, and it's more than just telecommunications. Can you explain the breadth, the pervasive nature of this pseudo market encapsulation of the world? Whether it's, you know, the companies, the Ancestry.com, what is it, the 21andMe kind of companies that in many cases are linked directly to Chinese state interests, that get that genetic information because you're curious about your ancestors, or the massive, huge social media platforms like TikTok that are Chinese endeavors, which when you make little films of yourself, whether you're a 17-year-old girl or whether you're a politician, capture your bio data, the facial data, and can then be used for whatever nefarious purpose the Chinese state wishes. So, Bill, give us a glimpse of just how all-pervasive the Chinese strategy is.
Yeah, we can get a little peek of that from what the Chinese call the social credit system.
Yes.
It's a system within China that's actually modeled after the U.S. financial credit. So if you have a credit score or something. In China, it's been politicized and applied to what could only be described as a totalitarian surveillance system, whereby people are monitored from everything they're walking to their face, to their purchases. And all of this, again, is designed for political control and to maintain the grip on power by the Chinese Communist Party. That's the kind of thing that China wants to export to the world. Ultimately, he wants to see that kind of Xi Jinping wants to see that kind of a totalitarian system built all over the world that China can control. Again, it's all about control and power. And we've got to recognize, you know, I used to say that the Chinese Communist Party is a nuclear-armed communist dictatorship. We can add to that, as you mentioned about the Uyghurs, a nuclear-armed genocidal communist dictatorship. This is the most important thing that people need to know. We need to be educated about the nature of this threat. We understood the Soviet Union, and we ultimately defeated it. This is the same type of threat. It's couched in other democratic language. It's couched in lies and deception. But we need to break through that and really get a good, clear understanding of the nature of this threat. It is an existential threat to our democratic system and ultimately our free and open way of life.
Hear the latest reporting and analysis on the big stories of the day on the Daybreak Insider podcast. It's top-notch reporting from SRN News, along with the sharpest insight from Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Dennis Prager, Sebastian Gorka, and the voices of townhall.com. The Daybreak Insider podcast. It's your first look at today's top stories. Available at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, and at salempodcastnetwork.com.
Making sense out of today's nonsense, here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
back with China expert Bill Goetz. Let me ask you a very simple question. Of the people who should know, the decision makers in D.C., how many of them, what's the percentage, how many of them actually treat China as a communist nuclear power that's genocidal with slave labor camps? Are they ignorant of it, or do they know it and deny it, Bill?
My belief is that the people that are behind the pro-China policy have a Marxist or neo-Marxist view, and they actually look at communist China as a model for the future,
yeah.
A model of control, a model of the ability to have state control over the economy, over the information, over people's lives. And I think that this is really kind of an undercurrent. It's not there completely, but again, in Washington, the political dynamic has really shifted. It's no longer liberals and conservatives or Democrats and Republicans. It's liberal Democrats versus radical Democrats. And it's in that radical Democrat camp where you have the pro-China. We're beginning to see political groupings like Code Pink come out and literally mouth Chinese communist policies about yeah. arms sales to Taiwan and other areas. And I think that this is really the situation that we're facing today.
Bill, we have to give you full credit. Before we were allowed to talk about it, before our masters permitted us, you were the person who months and months ago, almost right at the beginning, said, hang on a second, virus, Wuhan, there's a level 4 military biodefense lab there, and it's probably part of all this. Talk to us, Bill, about how you have been proven correct. The fact that nobody has apologized to you for calling that a conspiracy theory for more than a year. And what people should know about Wuhan and the Wuhan Lab of Virology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I recently wrote a piece for the Washington Times that was based on a report that was done by two State Department arms control leaders. Thomas DiNanno and Paula DeSutter. And it was basically the most concrete, clear example of why we need to continue to investigate the origin of the coronavirus. Again, the State Department, its Arms Control Bureau, was looking at, did China violate its commitment to the Biological Weapons Convention by developing deadly viruses in the Wuhan Institute of Virology? That investigation was shut down by the Biden administration earlier this year. It's a clear sign that they don't want to know the answers. Even the most honest scientists now admit that you have to find out how this virus began in order to find the solution. But what's being done in China in a covert manner, this through its biological weapons program, and there's intelligence on this that hasn't been released. It's been talked about in the margins in the State Department's annual arms compliance report. China is actually working on biological weapons that can target ethnic groups. This is really a chilling idea, that the idea that they're working to develop weapons that can target specific groups, whether that be Caucasians, whether that be Uyghurs or other dissident groups that China is opposed to. We're also beginning to see more information about the Chinese secret biological weapons program and where it fits into their strategy. Chinese military writings, which I've said have often been a tip-off to what's coming, have talked about that the next realm of warfare will be in the biological warfare realm. So the Chinese are gearing up for it, and we've got to really come to grips with this threat, or we're going to be facing pandemic after pandemic, and it's going to be a biological war in the near future if we don't come to grips with it and force the Chinese to disclose what they know and halt this dangerous research.
And your reaction to Biden's speech in the UN last week, where he didn't mention China by name, he just embedded the Wuhan human rights atrocities in a long list of other things, and then said that getting to the bottom of the Wuhan virus has to be a joint investigation with China. Your reaction?
Yeah, this speech at the UN was really, again, the trigger for the return to the appeasement of China policies. No mention of the greatest threat facing the world today, which is the Chinese Communist Party. Also, he avoided mentioning the Chinese nuclear buildup. This is, again, it boggles the mind that here we've had 4 years under Trump where we've educated people to the real dangers that we're facing. And these dangers are existential threats to our way of life. And yet the president, again, after having a 90-minute conversation with a dictator of China, it makes no mention of China and begins to back away from those policies. As I said, the climate fanatics in the Biden administration are on the ascendancy, and those who recognize the China threat are being pushed downward.
And at the end of the day, if we look at it realistically, Bill, what should be done when it comes to Wuhan? They're not going to allow, quote-unquote, independent investigators in there. Pompeo's been very, very vocal. President Trump's been very, very vocal in concerning punitive measures. What is a realistic response to the millions who have been killed because China allowed their citizens to travel the globe after the infection left the lab?
I think we need to cut off all normal relations with communist China, not just the United States, but all the free nations of the world. They need to basically say, this cannot stand. We cannot allow the Chinese to get away with killing so many millions of people around the world, including over 600,000 Americans, and not be held accountable. That only, as the late Defense Secretary Don Rumsfeld said, weakness is provocative. This is going to provoke communist China to do even more dangerous things, such as taking over Taiwan, which a number of experts really believe could happen in the very near future.
ReliefFactor.com studios. This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome back to One-on-One with me and Bill Gutz.
You had Miles Yu and Pompeo at the State Department who initiated, again, these revolutionary policies that really were designed to prevent China's march around the world from succeeding. And so those policies, we really need to get back to them as soon as possible, hopefully within the next presidential election.
Well, let's end with that thought in mind. My former boss, President Trump, will be announcing imminently his decision. And as far as I'm concerned, everybody knows what that decision is going to be. And it's up to us who believe in America First values to make sure he's given a second term in the White House. Given what he did the first time around, given that it will only be four more years that he can have constitutionally in the White House. What else does he need to do with regards to China that will reset the Sino-U.S. relations properly and put that threat back in the box, Bill Gutz?
Yeah, two things. The first is we need to be clear about the nature of the threat from communist China. There was a compromise in identifying China as a, quote, strategic competitor. That was done for the business community, which was heavily overextended into China and wanted to back off. So we need to go beyond competition. It's not the Olympics. This is a war, and it's an information war, and we need to identify China as the enemy, the number one enemy of the free world. And whether you want to make that into another Cold War, the Chinese view it as a Cold War already, we need to get in and to play on that. The second thing we need to do is this idea of decoupling. We need to pull back. We need to get our businesses, and again, I mentioned the international banking communities beginning to do that. Wall Street and other businesses are not. We need to decouple our economy from China and make it clear to China that their behavior as a nuclear-armed communist genocidal dictatorship is not going to last.
I think it's the least that we can do, given the fact that we spent 40 years defeating another existential communist threat, and this is the new one. We've been talking to Bill Gertz. Follow him right now, at Bill Gertz. Read his articles at the Washington Times, and check out his book, Deceiving the Sky, Inside Communist China's Drive for Global Supremacy. If you enjoy One-on-One here on America First, check out our brand new store, sebgorkastore.com, where you can pick up all of our books, all of our merchandise, our America First gear. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorkastore.com. As ever, wherever you are, keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.